The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Bringing in the coach, Jeff Van Gundy, just the best done color commentator in the business of any sport. He is joining us here to talk about these NBA finals and about our Houston Rockets. Coach, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Good, guys. How's everything?
It is awesome. Sorry to get you up so early. We apologize. We know you got a big day.
Oh, no worries.
You got a big day ahead of you, Coach. We know that. But we'll get to the NBA finals. But, okay, tell us about Matt Bullard and Chris Wallace in the Rockets front office. What did you think? What do you think of Chris?
Well, he's had a varied background. You know, he was in the high school recruiting business for a long, long time. And then he has been, you know, with the Celtics, Grizzlies, and he's smart. He knows players. And so I think that's a really good hire. And I think, he's had so many experiences and for so long that I think it's going to give a different look to that front office, a different mindset, because they have a lot of guys who are strong in their convictions and look at things in one particular way. I think Chris Wallace will be as strong, but he might look at things a bit differently, and I think those differences of opinions could be very good for them.
How about Bull going from the booth to the front office?
Man, I'm really excited for him. I didn't understand why he'd gotten taken off the broadcast, but maybe it's the, like the old adage, when one door closes, maybe even a better door opens. And so really happy for him. I'm not really sure what his role's going to be, but to have a player in there that you trust, they also have Chuck Hayes in that front office. I think that's a good thing. And I think Matt's going to be excited about all the possibilities. I don't know about you guys, but I didn't see that one coming.
No.
I'm happy for Matt.
No, especially after he said, well, I wasn't asked back. And then a week later, oh, I'm in the front office. Oh, wow. That was kind of weird. We'll find out sometime how that all went down. Jeff Van Gundy with us, John Granato, AJ Hoffman, and Del Olale here talking to the coach. Lance is, we're doing the afternoon show today, coach, so we got AJ here with us. We've been talking about the number two overall pick. Have you had a chance to look? Do you know anything about these guys? Somewhat of the talk is duplicity. Is Mobley like Christian Wood? Is Kevin Porter like Jalen Green? Or is Jalen Suggs the guy because you don't have that on the team? What about duplicity or just taking the best guy?
Yeah, you don't worry about A, duplicity, or B, offending anybody. Like, if Mobley's the guy, in your opinion, and I think he's a really good player. I did see him a couple times. Like, I like his versatility, terrific passer, defender. I don't know if he has the mentality of being an every night, 22, 23-point-a-game scorer as it goes in his career. I did not see the G League Ignite at all this year, so I can't speak to him. But you don't worry about, if there's duplicity. You're not in the position, if you're the Rockets, to try to fit your draft pick in like you would if you were a championship caliber team ready to play for championships. Right now, what you're trying to do is accumulate as many really good players as you can. Hopefully, draft what becomes a cornerstone of your team for many, many years, and that you get a, and wherever that star comes, whatever position, stars, and we've seen it over and over again, the Rockets.
Yeah, we've seen duplicity once, Sam Bowie instead of Michael Jordan. that didn't work out all that well for Portland.
Jeff, when you're picking number two overall, do you look more at ceiling or floor? Because there's a lot of people who will say, well, Jalen Green's got the higher ceiling. He's a guy who he could be a top-tier scorer. And I was just talking about with Mobley, even if his offensive game doesn't translate, you feel pretty good at the floor. You've got a really good defensive big. So what are you looking for when you're picking that high in the draft and you're a team as bad as the Rockets were this year? Are you looking for a high-ceiling guy or the guy with the safest floor?
Yeah, I don't know those front office cliches that you always hear thrown around. You know what I mean? Well, I got no idea about all that, but I do know that you know, you're not looking for just a really – there's a lot of places to find really good players. It's really hard to trade for a star, really hard to get a free agent star to sign with you. And so most times your stars are in the high end of the draft, and so that's what you're looking for at any position. You know, it's hard to get a James Harden in a trade for a bunch of filler. Like, that was one of great trades in NBA history. So it's hard to do that, though. Usually what you do is you draft Elijah Wan, right? That's how you get those all-time players. And so that's what they're in position to do. It's supposedly what everybody says is a really good draft. And now you just got to pick right. And, you know, in every sport, it's hard to pick right. You know, it's not as cut and dry. It becomes cut and dry over the years after you get to see him play in the same setting, but it's really hard to compare a Mobley to a Green because they haven't been competing in similar circumstances.
Jeff Van Gundy with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 at the NBA Finals. Coach, you said it. Hey, somebody's got to score on a bad team. Devin Booker was on a bad team for years, but look at him. When the right guys are around him, when guys buy in like Ayton, when they pick up a Chris Paul, when Payne's playing, you know what? Devin Booker is one of the better players in the NBA. What about that? About that, coach? I mean, there's so many guys that are on bad teams that are scoring, and Devin Booker finally has a chance to show what kind of player he really is.
Yeah, I think what you're trying to do, John, when you have a bad team is try to picture who could help you actually win playoff games if you had a good team. And the thing I love about Booker, besides his skill and his scoring, is he combines, I think, really good poise with a terrific, like, nasty competitive edge. You know, he looks like he's 21. You know, he's got a young face, but what he is, he's a lot nastier than you think. And so I really like that. And so, you know, you listen to the people around the Suns, and they talk constantly about, you know, how good he was even when, you know, they were one of the worst teams in basketball. And I think Monty Williams has done a terrific job, obviously, melding Paul and Booker together, but where I think he has had the biggest impact is on DeAndre Ayton. I think Ayton is playing a much simpler game. You know, he rebounds, he runs, and then he screens and he rolls to the rim. And he keeps it basic. They don't try to throw it to him in the post a lot, except against mismatches after switches. And they've got him accepting exactly what they need for him to win. So really, they've done a terrific job in roster building and developing the players that they had and gotten them to buy into roles where they could succeed individually and as a team.
What do you think the difference in game one? To me, the difference was it seemed like one team was just much more prepared than the other. and obviously that's a coaching thing. Were you surprised that it seemed like the Bucks were taken off guard, that the Suns were going to run constant pick and roll and beat what they'd been doing? And were you surprised the Bucks didn't adjust to it at any point during the game?
Well, when you have a great pick and roll game, the schemes that you employ, there are no good answers. So they switched early, and then they dropped in the second half. They dropped their bigs back closer to the rim, like conventional NBA defenses do many times. And then that's where, you know, and I know this could get me banned on Houston radio, but that's where the mid-range game is so powerful. And, you know, they exploited the drop. So the problem is, I don't think it was a lack of preparation. I think it spoke right to Chris Paul's greatness that he was able to exploit whatever coverages were employed by the Bucks. And I did think, though, Phoenix was a step quicker to the ball. I thought the rest that they had allowed them to play faster. And, you know, they got to the free throw line a lot more than Milwaukee did. So, you know, I would see, you would think that the aggression of Milwaukee on the offensive end will pick up. And then hopefully for them, they get a few more trips to the free throw line.
Yeah, I, he talks about adjustment. Coach, I'm hearing that, and we've been hearing that since the Nets series too, is that I don't know who's caught it more this offseason, Ben Simmons or Mike Budenholzer, about in – I don't get it. They're in the NBA Finals, and Bud is just catching it. It seems like every single game.
Yeah, he's the new NBA punching bag right now, and I don't get it either. He went to Milwaukee, and they were awful. And now they've been three straight years. They have been great. And now this year they've advanced to the Finals. And they did it winning the last two games of a series and the last clincher on the road without their best player. And now they're in the NBA Finals against a team that was five games ahead of them in the regular season standings, who is healthier. And somehow this is a coaching issue. People generally have so little clue about NBA coaching, probably coaching in all sports, but NBA coaching. When I hear people write, talk, and speculate about NBA coaches, like, if you're going at Mike Budenholzer, all he did was win in Atlanta, and which had never won when he took over or very often, and now in Milwaukee where they hadn't been winning, I don't get it.
Well, I'll tell you who, man, the job that Nate McMillan did, Coach, nothing against Lloyd Pierce, but what? I mean, you're right. Coaching makes a huge difference, I guess, because it was night and day, those two teams.
Right, and they got healthier, and they, you know, when you have a coaching change, oftentimes the best thing it does for your team and your players is not some new strategy, but it focuses your team on, it was the coach this time, it might be me next time. I may be out of here, I may be traded. And so I thought they became a healthier team, a harder playing team, and, you know, you're right. It was a terrific run, and if not for the injury to Trae Young, that series might have well extended to seven games.
How would you coach Giannis at the free throw line right now?
You know, I think right now, like, all the coaching has been done. I would have tried to get him to speed up. You know, he says this is his routine, and my thing is, I think routine is overrated. Either you can shoot and make it, or you can't, right? So just speed it up. You know, like, get up there, catch the ball, dribble once if you want, and put it in. I think sometimes we're making way too much of, like, how hard it is to make a 15-footer, no matter if, you know, there's defense there or not. So let's put the ball in the basket.
We had a conversation earlier about Chris Paul, and there seems to be a love affair on the national media and in America now with Chris Paul. These two guys are both like, yeah, can't root for the guy. I remember. Anyway, are we misremembering Chris Paul and what he was before this run that he's on, Coach?
No, I think what you, you know, you're the compilation of your entire career and what he's always been since he's been in the NBA. He has impacted winning in the regular season at every stop he's been at, whether it was Oklahoma City after he was traded from Houston, or Phoenix this year, or the Clippers when he went there, and Houston as well, New Orleans when he was drafted. The guy's had a major impact on every organization, has helped them lift them up in the regular season. And then the other part of it is he's had some really disappointing playoffs, the Clippers in particular, where he made some unexpected gaffes, and they had some meltdowns against the, you know, against Oklahoma City 1 year, against the Rockets another year. And so now it looked like he was on the path to, you know, another injury-plagued playoffs, and the Rocket fans understand just how close the Rockets were to winning a championship, if not for a Chris Paul injury. And so, you know, he looked like in the L.A. series that, hey, or the Lakers series, that he may not be able to make it back and play effectively, and they could have lost in the first round. Instead, they recovered. Anthony Davis goes down. That series changes around. And now, like you said, I think everybody's, like, on the Chris Paul, you know, bandwagon. He is a great, great player. And he is getting, you know, he's close now. He's really close. And I admire his persistence.
Absolutely. We know you got a busy day. We don't want to take up all your time. But I got a couple of quick things before you go. Jeff Van Gundy, have you seen what your Astros are doing lately?
They're rolling.
Unbeatable.
Well, I mean, you know what I like? I know supposedly security at the park doesn't allow this shirt, but I wore my shirt when I was doing the Clippers series from State Line Design, the one that says, "Y'all still mad?"
Yeah.
I wear that around proudly all the time. And everybody gets upset with me. And I'm like, just check out what all the pitchers we're just finding out have been doing. So you tell me Barry Bonds can't be in the Hall of Fame, Roger Clemens can't be in the Hall of Fame, when everybody knew what the pitchers were doing all this time, and now they decided to crack down. Baseball is the most hypocritical sport there is.
Thank you. Yeah, we are finding out. All right, under over 4.5 wins for your Texans.
Everybody says under. They're all killing me. Oh, what about your Texans? Oh, they're a mess. We're going to win more than people expect. We're going to get 5.
Five?
Ooh. Yes.
Wow, you are the most optimistic Texan fan in the world right now.
Yeah, you know what you do to you cheap shot teams all the time, like people have. Those are some prideful players. Hopefully there's, you know, better depth than we expect, and maybe even a resolution to Watson situation so he can get out on the field. That to me is still, I don't even understand. I don't understand his trade request. I don't really understand anything right now as far as the Texans, but I'm still going over.
So did you renew your season tickets?
I did, but I got to say, I stopped and paused. because I just didn't have a great feeling, you know. And it's not about wins and losses, like not that. I didn't have a great feeling, but yet I did, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah. No. I first time ever, Coach. I've been with him since the beginning. I couldn't do it. I couldn't send him another check.
Didn't?
I didn't renew mine. I couldn't send him another check. I just couldn't. Not after all this. I'm done. You can have my seat license. You can. That's all. I'm done. I can't do it anymore. Not with what. Not all this stuff that's going on. But you.
I'm still on the band. I'm still on the band. I'm still. Yeah. I'm still in. And like you said, I don't know if you're the same reasons, but for me, it's much less about the record, and it's much more about how I feel.
Yeah.
Right? That's how I, you know. And I tell you, they've always treated me well there. They've treated me well as a customer. I like the group. I sit around at the games. But you know what? I'm unsure if they're all decided to come back either. So I don't. Because I didn't go at all last year. You know, I didn't go.
We'll
see.
I just want you to remember one thing, Coach. The only show that wouldn't ask you about Maria Taylor and Rachel Nichols. How about that? Before you go, we will let you go. We know you're busy. We know you got a huge day ahead of you. So go.
Whose side are you on?
Good take.
Yeah, you know what? That's how you get fired. So I'm glad you didn't. And you know, like it is though a reminder once again to, you know, like you can forget in all of this, no matter what business you're in, your business, my business, pro sports. You know, treat people the way you want to be treated. Everybody treat each other nicely.
And by the way, at any point you could be recorded. Remember that too. At any point. So just remember that. Whatever you're saying, someone, it could be recorded. Coach, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us. We'll watch it tonight. We appreciate it.
You got it. Anytime. You know that.
There's the coach. We love him right here on ESPN 97.5.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner. So you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month. No commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. You coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.